want to welcome everyone to our service this morning. Today I want to tell you about a man who claimed to be equal with God. Our text comes from John chapter 5, verses 17 through verse 30. There the Bible reads, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.' Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." I'm going to tell you, there have been others who have claimed to be equal with God. But this man, the most unusual and the most amazing of them all. We know as children of God there is only one God, who is above all as the Father, who is through all as the Son, and who is in all as the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They can only exist and be a part of us if we read and study the Word of God. I mentioned there were others who claimed equality with God. I searched the internet. This is what I found. Among Jewish Messiah claimants, there were two. Among Christian Messiah claimants, there were 24. Among Muslim Messiah claimants, there were 7. All other are a combination of Messiah claimants, there were 10. As Christians, we need to face this claim of Jesus that he is equal with God. How could Jesus make such a claim? Because Jesus gave us proof after proof of his claim, which clearly verified that he was equal with God. In the passage, Jesus will give us 9 proofs that he is equal with God. It is important that we believe concerning Jesus the Messiah. It is a matter of life and death. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. The This morning, let's begin with the first claim. We read verses 17 and 18 of the text. There it says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews thought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." The first thing we notice here is that Jesus calls God my Father, not our Father. He was claiming his unique relationship, a Father-Son union with God and the religious leaders. With God. And the religious leaders understood it clearly. They understood that Jesus said God was his Father, and that Jesus, in saying this, was making himself equal with God. Another claim that Jesus made was when he said, "My Father is always at his work." And this means my Father keeps working on even until now. That is, God never ceases to work, even on the Sabbath. Some may question this by remembering that after God created the universe in 6 days, he rested on the Sabbath. The example of God resting on the Sabbath day from all his work is the fourth commandment, and it made the ground of observing the Sabbath day, or the day of rest. But further study of this will reveal that God rested from his creative work. He didn't rest from his other work, his work of love and mercy, his work of helping and caring and looking after and overseeing. All of this continued. Jesus said, "And I too am working," meaning that he did good on the Sabbath just as God did. And again, he was claiming to be equal with God, claiming to have the same right to work even as God works. That is, to erase the tradition laws of men and to establish the just and the benevolent laws of God. This is precisely why the religious leaders tried to kill Jesus. In John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." A person either accepts this claim of Jesus to be equal with God, or they reject it. The claim was clearly made. There is no longer any middle ground to stand on. Man is now forced to decide. Verse 19 of the text, it says, "Then Jesus answered them and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." This is the first proof that Jesus was equal with God, and this was his obedience. Jesus stated two things. He didn't act alone or independently from God. In other words, he didn't take things into his own hands, or do his own thing, or act selfishly, or walk separately from God. Hopefully, you will notice how Jesus stresses the point when he said, "I tell you the truth." In other words, listen closely to what I am saying. Number two, Jesus did exactly what he saw the Father do. He didn't add anything or take anything away. He did exactly what God did. A literal translation of the original Greek manuscript reads this way. He did the very same things, not such things, but the same things, in the very same manner. Likewise, with the very same authority and liberty and wisdom, the same energy and the same ability. So he was perfectly obedient. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 8, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." verse 20 of our text. It says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." This is the second proof that Jesus was equal with God. He was and with God in his great works. Jesus made two statements here in this verse that we need to focus on. Number one, the Father loves the Son. The idea is that the Father continues to love and he never stops loving the Son. It is a perfect love that never ceases to give. After the baptism of Jesus, God spoke in Matthew 3 and verse 17, and it says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" In Matthew 11 and verse 27, Jesus said, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son." Now listen. "And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Number two, "And because of this love that the Father showed the Son all things which he did," then he goes on to say that the Father was going to show him greater things to do. Even greater things than healing the paralytic man that we talked about last week. And we will see later in this letter that Jesus would control the forces of nature. He calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He will multiply food. He will raise the dead and heal crowds of people. He will institute new ordinances and create people anew. Verse 21 of our text, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." Now we see a third proof that Jesus is equal with God by his power to give life. God gives life, and only God can give life. And we know that Jesus has the power to give life in the miracles that he performed. But at this point in Scripture, it has not been recorded any time that Jesus had raised the dead yet. So, in a sense, Jesus is given foresight to his ability to give life. Just as God gives life to whom he will, so does Jesus. But so far, we are only considering physical life. Think about the abundant and eternal life that Jesus gives to anyone who believes on him. In John 11, in verse 25, here Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Verses 22 and 23 of our text, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So here we have the fourth proof that Jesus was equal with God, and that was his control over the whole judicial process. Most of us believe that God will judge the world, and that we will have to stand before God in the day of judgment. But that's not so. Jesus says, Jesus claims that God will judge no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to the Son. The scene is the picture of a supreme court, not just the supreme court of a nation, but the supreme court of the universe presided over by Jesus Christ. This means that all judgment has been given to Christ. God has willed that all men honor the Son just as they honor him. We are to honor and worship Jesus just as we honor and worship God. The truth of it all is that if a person doesn't honor Christ, he doesn't honor God. And if he doesn't worship Christ, he doesn't worship God. Acts 17 in verse 31, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Verse 24 and 25 of our text. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. This is the fifth proof that Jesus is equal to God. His power over men's destiny. The power to save men from death to life. There are three things to note here. Number one, how men are saved. They are saved by hearing Jesus' word. In order to be saved, we must hear and we must follow Jesus' word, doing as he says. People are saved by believing God. That is, that believing that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to save them. Number two, the second point is the result of being saved. The result of being saved is eternal life. When a person is truly saved, he is never condemned to die. He is declared righteous and given eternal life. Jesus said he has crossed over from death to life. Man is in a present state of death. That is, man is in the process at this time of dying. Man must die, and they will die. He can't stop that process. But number three, the facts are twofold. A time has come, and now is, when the spiritual dead can hear the voice of the Son of God. When the spiritual dead who hear, they can live. John 6 and verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Verse 26 of our text. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. This is our sixth proof of Jesus' equality with God. His energy of life, his self-existence. God is the source of life, the essence of life, the power and the energy of life. God has given the very same energy of life to Jesus. So this implies that Jesus has the power to give eternal life to those who hear him and believe in him. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45, we read, and so it is written, the first man became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Verse 27 of our text, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. This is our seventh proof in Jesus' claim of equality with God. His power to execute judgment. Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man here, meaning he lived just as all sons of men live. He walked through life as a man, bearing all the weight and the pressure, all the trials and temptations, the sufferings and death, joys and victories that men experience here on this earth. He knows every facet and fiber of human life. So he is able to execute perfect judgment. And for this reason, God has given him the right and he has given him the authority to judge men. Acts 17 and verse 31, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Also, we find in verse 27, we have the eighth proof that Jesus was equal with God and that was his claim to be the Son of Man. This was Jesus' favorite description of himself. Jesus is the Son of Man. This doesn't mean that Jesus is born of a man. It means that he is more than any ordinary man is. More than a son of some men. Jesus is what every man ought to be. Jesus is everything God wants man to be. He is the pattern, the model, the perfect example of concern and caring. He served other people just like every man ought to serve other people. Jesus called himself the Son of Man some 80 times. Listen to the prophecy of Daniel concerning the Son of Man. This is Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Verse 28 through verse 30 of our text. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Very deep words. Finally, we have the ninth proof that Jesus is equal with God, and that is his power to resurrect all men from the grave. We will note several facts, and then we will close. Number one, it's the voice, the word, the power of Jesus that shall resurrect all who are in their graves. Number two, note again, it is all who are in their graves that shall be resurrected. So not even one will be left in the earth. Everyone will come out. Number three, it also says the time is coming when all shall be resurrected. The time is set. It's fixed. It has already been determined. Number four, then it says that we must not be amazed at this. This resurrection of people from the grave is not incredible because God is incredible. God does exist and he has a plan for the world. The world has not just happened. Life has not just happened by chance, without purpose or without meaning. Because of what Jesus is telling here, we should understand that life is not doomed or without hope or destined to despair. There is meaning and there is purpose and there is significance in this life. Number five, these last verses tell us that people who have done good will rise to live. So that tells us that how you live really matters. The person who professes and lives for God will take part in the resurrection of life. But they who have done evil will rise to be condemned. That is what we call the resurrection of damnation, judgment, and condemnation. What a person has professed will not matter. All that will matter will be how a person has lived. Has he lived righteously and godly in this present world? Did they believe in Christ and serve Him? Believing on Christ means that a person has committed his life to follow Christ, to obey, and to serve. Let me make mention of two things about the resurrection. There will be a resurrection of all who have believed, and all who have obeyed Jesus Christ. And there will also be a resurrection of all those who have rejected and disobeyed Christ. The judgment of Christ will be just. He will judge precisely as He hears, exactly as God wills. He hears and He does the will of God perfectly. So He will hear God and He will execute God's judgment exactly as He wills. Only men who have lived godly lives will rise to live. All others will rise to be condemned. In closing, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14 through verse 18. First Thessalonians 4, verse 14 through verse 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So this morning, we have seen Jesus' claim that He is equal with God. With all this that is said, should we doubt any of it? If there is one that is subject to the gospel call this morning, we will meet you come as we stand.